From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk C words as we continue our alphabetical trip through the most challenging words ever found on the SAT. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Well, Happy New Year, Kathy. Happy New Year, Ross. We are now into 2025. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, either of you? I don't do that, so I'm just going to continue being my wonderful self.
Me too! I'm Kathy!
Oh, good!
I actually have one. I had pulled my back putting our Christmas tree in, and I was very careful taking the Christmas tree out. So my New Year's resolution is I'm going to do more back exercise. It's boring, but...
I should have done something. Did I tell you how my mistake, instead of putting lens solution in my eye when they were wet, I put hand cleaner?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I did that last week, so we won't discuss that. I'm going to be more careful. Okay, I got a real solution. Okay. If Ross's back's going to be better, my brain will be better.
We got a letter from Ben in Las Vegas. I was listening to the show when you all picked your favorite words, and Fletcher picked, I'm going to let Fletcher say the word because I have no idea how to say it, pneumo whatever.
Oh, this Fletcher. Is back when we were talking about our favorite, yeah. Just our personal
favorite
words.
We've been holding on to this for you.
Yeah. You're going to have to read it. I'm pneumo ultra microscopic silico.
You're getting there. Pneumono ultra microscopic silicovolcanoconiosis.
Yes. There you go.
That was what Ross was saying.
And he was saying how he'd always like saying, okay, I have a challenge for him. Can he spell it? I'm looking forward to hearing him try.
Okay, we'll take the next 2 minutes as I say all of these letters. Let me see if I can get them all. PNEUMONOULTRAMICROSCOPICSILICOVOLCANOCONIOSIS.
Wow!
You got it.
It's easy though. You just, wow. I mean, each of those little pieces, I mean, they break up into pretty familiar, you know,
they do.
Not words exactly, but parts of words.
Well, Ben,
no,
you didn't stump him.
Yeah. Yeah, take that, Ben.
But we got a lot of letters coming up, a lot of words coming up, and I think we will get Fletcher at least one or two.
I have no doubt. So we're going to look at some of the hardest SAT words that begin with the letter C.
We did tell you SATs, but we threw in one or two weirdy words that we want to see if you can pronounce anyway. Because we're not going to accept you getting everything right, okay?
That's another resolution.
Yes.
Yeah, if you guys weren't throwing me curveballs, which also starts with C, then I would be surprised and I would wonder what had happened to Kathy and Ross in the new year. So, yeah, let's get it going. I'll expect some surprises.
Okay, the first word is camaraderie.
Okay.
The quality of affording easy familiarity and sociability.
You want me to spell this?
Camaraderie.
Right. Camaraderie. It's like CAMARADERIE.
Correct.
Okay, next. Kathy.
Ross, I don't know about you, but I'm going.
Now,
I'm done.
I mean, the tricky part there, right, is that we say camaraderie, but it's spelled C-A-M-A-R.
Yes.
Like camaraderie. Yeah.
But yeah, because it comes from the French, and comrade in the French is...
In French, it would be camarade. But it ultimately comes from the Latin, which always bothered me as a kid, camera, you know, C-A-M-E-R-A, which is a vaulted chamber or room. And then it became like you're in the room with people or whatever. But that used to bother me as a kid, though, when they had like the lawyer go in camera.
Okay, we need to dig into this one. Know?
I was just going to say, why camera then?
Well, okay. Here's my idea, and I have no idea if this is true. Right, so you've got camera, if that's a vaulted room, you've got a camera obscura, which is putting the, you know, the little upside down thing over the keyhole so that the light goes into the.
Yeah, but that's like a vaulted, but that's like a big box, basically a chamber, the same thing.
Right. So that's the line then. The camera obscura was that obscured room, box, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took that and turned it into camera that we take pictures with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
You didn't understand because that's what I was doing the same.
I was going, comrades with cameras.
Also, I love this, though. In the 17th century, it was sometimes in jocular use. This is camaraderie, misspelled comrogue. That's just like, oh.
That's a really jocular statement there, Kevin.
Is that like a frenemy or something?
I think so. Ah, yeah. 17th century frenemy.
Yeah.
The next word.
And this is a fun one.
Christomathy. An anthology of passages used in learning language. Christomathy.
Do you want to hear a weird one? I knew how to spell this when I was a little kid. Dad gave me we were living in Egypt, and he gave me a hieroglyphic, easy elementary hieroglyphs, Egyptian hieroglyphs.
And it said a Christomathy?
So they had a Christomathy at the back. I always pronounced a Crestomathy as a kid, but whatever.
It's Christomathy. This is a word I rarely, if ever, have used.
No, it's a weird thing, because, like, I mean, it's just weird, because, like, I instantly thought, I know that, you know?
I'm glad that I know we're in the letter C, because otherwise I'd be wondering if I needed to start with a K. But we'll go, I guess, with, is it going to be C or CH?
Ooh, that's a clue.
I'll leave off the H, because otherwise I'm going to start thinking about religion. Oh, okay,
Ross, stop it!
But on the other hand, when you change from the K, often you're putting in a CH instead of just a C. Anyway, we'll go with Christomathy.
Awfully close.
Okay.
I feel relieved I didn't give it away completely, so you got it. So go on. It's E-C-H-R-E-S.
Christomathy. Okay.
Christomathy.
Okay. And it comes from the ancient Greek, so you were correct with the idea after I went, in Greek, you put C-H, even though the Greek don't have a C, but whatever, it'd be C-H.
We're going back to the French. The word is chauffeur.
Let me see if I can do this. Okay, we're going to spell it. C-H-A-U-F-F-E-U-R.
Wow.
Did I do that?
Good, Fletcher.
I always feel like
you got
always feel like there's another secret letter in there that I might be missing, but I got it. Okay.
You got it. You know, the weirdest thing about this word, though, was not the spelling as much, was Kat and I were flipped out by it. The origin of the word. It comes from the French chauffeur, and in the old French, there were two Fs in the chauffeur or chauffeur, whatever, to heat. To warm up. And because the first motor cars were steam driven.
Oh.
So basically, you got a guy driving a steam driven car. He's like a heated up car. I did not have any idea.
He's the guy who has to heat it up and then get going.
Yeah, he operated a steam engine.
In fact, and it's related to the word chafe. You don't think of chauffeur and chafe. My thighs are chafed, I said to the chauffeur.
Yeah, I didn't realize that chafe was related to heat, but that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I just also have to throw in as another jocular aside.
I knew you were going to do this, because I was waiting for
Rose,
you.
I can't help it.
I was just waiting.
In the early 20th century, in British English, the jocular form of the word chauffeur was shover. Ha ha!
Oh, man.
Sorry.
People used to be so funny.
You're wonderful on Victoria.
I would have wowed them. Are you kidding?
Okay, the next one, Fletcher, this is a pain one to me. I'm curious if you will spell it correctly. Chihuahua, which is a city and state in Mexico, and it also refers to a dog breed.
This is another one, like chauffeur, where I always think, okay, there's another letter in there. What am I missing? Let me see if I can do this. C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A. I don't know if there's an H on the end or not. I don't think there is.
Muy bien.
Got it.
Okay.
Yes. Chihuahua.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that was it. And they say it came from a lost native word that meant dry place.
Oh, okay.
This fascinated me. Did you see this, Ross?
Yeah, I did. I was just about to say it. Yeah.
It says the dog breed was attested by that name from 1854, although dogs seem to have been bred there long before that. Early American explorers in the West, I don't get this, seem to have confused them, i.e. Chihuahuas, somewhat with prairie dogs.
But what? The problem I have with that, though, is like, there weren't Chihuahuas in the American West at the time, were there?
Well, maybe in the Southwest. I don't know. I mean, dogs
but
walk.
But are prairie dogs? I don't know much about prairie dogs, but I thought prairie dogs were...
In the plains more, aren't they? I don't know. I'm not good at my nature stuff.
I thought so, too. But this could be one of those things that someone said it once. We've looked at that before, and then everyone
Mexican
says it.
Mexican prairie
even,
dogs.
Like, really thinking about it.
There are Mexican prairie dogs.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
they
that.
They don't look at all like Chihuahuas. They look more like, you know,
yeah, but they're a little brown animal. I think it's probably a little brown animal. You just probably go with it. Okay, the next word, Fletcher, let's moving away from animals, going into something different completely, is chiaroscuro.
All right, chiaroscuro.
Chiaroscuro. In art, the treatment of light and shade,
yeah,
often in dramatic contrast. Kath and I both knew this because of our mom, who was an artist. Mm-hmm. But
C-H-I-A-R-O-S-C-U-R-O?
Chiaroscuro. Beautiful.
Yeah. You got it.
I learned that, you know, when I was going through my film classes, too. Like, you know, because a lot of times when you've got really, like, contrasting light.
Wow,
you,
I never thought of
you
that,
talk
of course.
About chiaroscuro.
Yeah, it'd be really big in film.
With noir, film noir and that sort of thing, especially.
Oh, God, yeah. I like that. Next one, French as opposed to Italian, food as opposed to art. The word is charcuterie.
I mean, that can be art.
It's true. I like the way you think. I like the cut of your jib.
I think I know this one, too. A lot of these are just kind of in my wheelhouse, just because they're things I'm interested in.
Fletcher and cold cuts.
Yeah, exactly. C-H-A-R-C-U-T-E-R-I-E, charcuterie.
You got it.
Yeah.
It comes from the old French char, which is from the Latin carnum, which we know as in carnivore, et cetera.
Okay.
Piece of flesh, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And then it moved into with the... charcuterie part came quite cooked, so basically it's cooked meat.
Okay.
I say charcuterie, and I know that's wrong. It's charcuterie. I've got to get used to that.
Okay. The next word is concomitant. It's interesting because I one little minor point. I remember hearing this word when I was a kid, and I thought it was the ultimate adult word.
Interesting.
I just loved how it said. I felt like you basically become an adult and you say things like concomitant all the time.
Do you say it now often? Now that you're an adult?
Never. Now that I'm an adult.
You got to grow up, Ross.
I don't think
Ross.
I ever say it. Yeah,
so I've seen the word. I can't quite remember where the double letter or double letters are. What, can you tell me what it means?
Okay, it means following or accompanying as a consequence.
Okay. C-O-N, of course, C-O-M, M-I-T-A-N-T.
You got it, Fletcher.
Okay, so double M, I thought not we double were... T. I couldn't remember.
You didn't say double M. No. You didn't say
yes,
double
M. Yes, he did, Ross. He said C-O-N-C-O-M-M-I-T.
Yes, I did.
No, Fletcher, no double M.
Oh, heck.
Just what? I was so proud of you, Fletcher. I thought you
so
really got
there's
it.
I'm no
keeping
double letter.
Score.
There's no double letter at all?
None.
Oh, that doesn't look right in my head at all. Wow, okay.
Mm-mm. But it comes from the Latin, it comes from a Latin term to join as a companion, comitare, C-O-M-I-T-A-R.
Okay.
And then you have this con prefix bumping into it, so you don't have anything like it. Let's move on to connoisseur instead.
I'm a connoisseur of charcuterie.
Okay, this one also has, this one actually has double letters. Now I just have to remember how many. I don't know this, but if I decide that connoisseur means a knower of something, then I think there needs to be a double N because connaître is to know in French. So here's what I'm going to say. C-O-N-N-O-I-S-S-E-U-R.
You got
perfecto. Very good.
That one was tough. And I did have to go through those hoops because I wasn't 100% sure if there needed to be a double N.
This is the interesting thing about language, and it's a real danger. Like Kath and I love talking about etymology. It came from this, it came from that. But a lot of times it doesn't really help you because interestingly enough, connoisseur comes from the old French word which only had one N in it.
And five S's. No, sorry. Yeah, right.
how funny. So, oh, wow. So if I'd known that much, then I might have screwed myself up.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Ross. You're right. So often it doesn't translate, really.
I mean, sometimes you can know too much.
You can. And then in modern French, it has two N's, but only one S.
What?
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So I mean, yeah. No, so it's like a real mess and that's a real danger with the world. I mean, with the world of language, you can know too much.
The concept of a critic with food or wine, a connoisseur in that sense, didn't come about until 1796, I'm seeing. Yet the concept of it just as a critical judge of anything was earlier. Mm-hmm. But now we've made it much more of a sensual thing, don't you think?
Yeah, that's true, definitely. Moving on to a large black swimming and diving bird. Kath, why don't you pronounce this?
Is it cormorant?
Oh. Yes, you got it.
You know, I think I always wondered whether that was a bird or a fish. So I guess I know the answer to that now.
Good point. I never really was sure myself.
They have them all over the place up here. So I knew it, but I always mispronounced. I always say cormorant, which is wrong. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I think I've only really ever seen it written, and I thought it was cormorant.
Correct.
Yep, you got it.
Perfect.
Okay. You got it.
I didn't know this, that they say that the birds are proverbially voracious. Hence, the word was applied to greedy or gluttonous persons. I have never seen cormorant.
Never. I've never seen that either. I've seen cormorants, though. They're all over the... They tried to get rid of a bunch because they were eating everything, like fish and stuff.
Oh, they are voracious then, aren't they?
Much like a greedy or gluttonous person, I might add.
That's sort of cool, though. I think they're really beautiful birds. When I looked at it, I really was impressed seeing them. Anyway, okay, commiserate, Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. Another double letter problem here. Commiserate. So to commiserate is sort of like to, if something bad happens to somebody, you're going to go have a beer with them and sort of drown your sorrows together. Drown their sorrows together, that sort of thing, right?
Very good. Okay. Very nice. Yeah.
Is it, I don't know. Commiserate, two M's and one S.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
I always have problems with what to double and what not to.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even guarantee that if you asked me this again tomorrow that I would get commiserate correct.
But then we'll commiserate with you about it.
Thank you. Yes.
The next word is choleric.
Choleric, like...
bilious of temperament or complexion.
Yeah. Okay. Is it choleric? I always wondered if it was choleric or choleric.
It's choleric.
I would say choleric.
It's choleric.
Oh,
fine.
It's
what I've always heard.
You two have different pronunciations.
Choleric is the right one.
Choleric.
No, I'm saying choleric.
Aha.
I see choleric.
I'm going to guess you're both right.
I have right here. Oh, am I doing a British pronunciation?
Choleric and choleric. Ah. We have two different pronunciations, UK and the US.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy did UK, I did US. And Fletcher, you were doing US, right?
I don't know if I've ever said the word before in my life. I wondered which it was, but.
Well, let's don't worry about the pronunciation. Let's worry about the spelling. Yeah,
so. Well, I'm just trying to figure out why I say it British. But that, anyway, go on.
That I do know. Choleric.
Yep. Basically, it comes from the Greek word meaning bile, which is related to a word to be green because bile is green, referring to. Rather disgusting green diarrhea or vomiting as well.
Thank you.
And it came to mean hot tempered.
Mm-hmm. Bile is one of the humors, right?
Yes.
I find it humorous, certainly.
This is going to be a double one.
Okay.
It's actually a triple, Kathy. I'll go down below.
Oh, you're right. I forgot the other one. Okay. The first word is cork, as in to stop up crevices, or how I say it is cork. I don't know how others say it.
I was going to say we should do a translation for Fletcher. Cork.
You cork
in English.
You're corking
in mainstream US, the US. Cork. Yeah.
You know, I've heard you say that word before, and now every time I do a crossword puzzle and that word comes up, that's how I hear it in my head. Cork. I think it's C-A-U-L-K. Is that
correct?
Right? Okay.
Okay, now that is the thing that, like, when you're filling in cracks and crevices.
Yeah, okay.
But what if you have a pointed piece on a horseshoe to prevent it slipping?
What if? What if you do? And that's still pronounced quack?
That's an interesting question. Would a New Yorker pronounce it quack or cock in this case, Kathy? I think you need to weigh in on this.
Hello. Read that word and spell it. Talk, T-A-L-K, is pronounced
okay,
talk.
Perfect. We got it. We got it.
Well, then Kathy may have just
that's
tipped me off.
That's a good clue.
Kathy may have just tipped me off. C-A-L-K?
Yes.
Okay. I will say I would have gotten that wrong. I would have said C-A-U-K. Thank you, Kathy, for helping me through that.
Everyone set me up, though.
But also, I think we need to forgive Fletcher on that, because I don't think there's any need to talk about a pointed piece on a horseshoe to prevent it slipping.
Just the other day, Ross, when I finished corking the tiles. Okay, now our final word is a word meaning a lone translation of a foreign word or phrase, as in chauffeur or voila or whatever. Hmm. And the word is caulk. I tried to say it like you guys.
Yeah.
Caulk. Okay.
Caulk.
It's actually pronounced calc.
Calc?
Yes.
Okay, calc. I like it as caulk.
Kathy was trying to trick Fletcher. It's not fair. Let's be nice to the guy here. Calc.
Okay. I still don't know. Is it also spelled C-A-L-K? Is it C-A-L-Q-U-E?
Yes!
Oh, really? You got it right.
Well, that sounds like it itself is a calc.
Yes, it comes from the French. Is that pronounced, Ross? Calque? Calque? Calque?
Calque? Calque in French.
It came from the Latin.
But it came from the English. That's the weird thing.
Oh, what?
It actually came back. It was a back formation in French from the English calque to copy by tracing, which comes ultimately from Latin calcare, which means to press down.
Oh, my gosh.
Which came from the Latin word calx, which is heel in Latin.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay, so it was Latin, came into English, went to French, and came back into English.
Yes.
Huh.
I just never knew there were so many words that like were corky, you know, ish, cork-ish. Okay, Ross, you could do this one because it's French.
I don't want to do this one because it's hard to pronounce.
That's why I'm giving it to you.
I know. Okay, this word is pronounced cuirass. Cuirass.
Cuirass.
Okay, it's leather or metal armor consisting of a breastplate and a backplate.
Oof.
Not to be confused, incidentally, with cuisse, armor for the front of the thighs.
Cuirass. Okay. C-U-I-R-A-S-S?
Correcto mundo.
Fletcher, you are an honorary knight of the round table. Sir Fletcher, arise.
That's interesting that I got that. I don't know. I must have seen it somewhere at some point. Like I can.
I'm really impressed.
Word, like when you said it, the word just kind of appeared in my head.
That's one of the words I think I've just seen just from reading things. I've never said it out loud. I've never thought about it, but it's like it's out there and you see it.
I think it's true from reading like, you know, old knights books or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I think so. Medieval stuff, medieval stories or whatever. Because oddly enough, I didn't know exactly what the word meant, but I think I would have spelled it correctly too. And I'm a bad speller.
You are actually. Isn't that odd?
Every language I learn, I spell it badly.
The next word is chimerical. Or is it chimerical?
It's chimerical.
Oh, like a chimera.
Imaginary or fanciful.
Before we spell it, let me remember. A chimera is it the head of a lion or the body of a lion?
Yep, you got it. Heads of a lion.
Head of a lion, body
goat's
of...
body.
A goat body and a dragon tail or a lizard
snake
tail?
Snake tail. Yeah.
Very
snake
good,
tail.
Fletcher.
Yeah,
very
okay.
good.
So chimerical, C-H-I-M-E-R, chimer, I-C-A-L.
Correct.
Very good. You got it.
I'm just going to backtrack for just 1 second. Ross, you don't spell well. I don't pronounce well.
No, you don't. It's interesting, Kat.
I just thought of that. I'm sorry. It's just, I spell beautifully, but I mean, when it comes to pronunciation, I'm like, I don't know.
You know, mate, we know what we should do. We should join forces.
Hey, we can write books together.
Oh, my God.
Here's an idea. And actually, Kathy, moving to the next word, why don't you pronounce this one?
I'm not going to. I want to see if Fletcher can. Now, the next word is, no, we have to do it. You can't say it starts.
Look, why don't we do? Why don't we switch it over? Why don't we give Fletcher the spelling and have him pronounce
okay.
it this time?
We're talking about.
And define it.
Okay, I won't. The word is C-H-I-T-O-N.
C-H-I-T-O-N. Oh, wow. I certainly have no idea what that is. C-H-I-T-O-N. It's either going to be like chiton or chitin.
Very good.
Well, no, Ross, there's two choices. He hasn't picked one.
Realistically, I probably would have gone with chitin, even though I don't know what that is or what
you
it
got
means.
It.
Well, that's right.
It's an ancient Greek tunic, or it's a mollusk with a boat-shaped shell.
Wait, what?
Actually, I'm going to ask you another.
Or it's a mollusk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. We Greeks are very versatile.
Okay, this is a killer, this word. Kathy knew it. I had never even heard of the word.
Yeah, I always knew. Well, I knew it from reading. I mean, I knew it from actually Colette's Claudine novel. She preferred this particular thing.
I never read Colette, so. It's chypre. It's chypre.
This is French?
Good guess.
Yeah. Especially because Ross went, chypre.
Yeah. Mon Dieu. Chypre. I can't remember.
Chypre. What is this?
It's a mixture of resins used in making perfume. It's used a kind of mossy... it came from the French for the island of Cyprus.
Oh, but it's chypre, not, chypre.
Chypre, yeah.
Okay, well, let me
think. Okay, I'm hearing in English, in American English, it's chypre.
That's really interesting.
I guess C-H-I-P-R-E?
Very close.
Okay, is it two P's?
Very wrong.
Okay.
It's C-H-Y-P-R-E.
Oh, sure, okay.
You know, it gets you about language, though. It comes from the French for Cyprus, which we just pronounced Cyprus. The French pronounced it, you know, with a C-H. And then in the Greeks would pronounce it with the K sound.
Yeah.
I mean, language is all over the place when you go with this. I think we should end with this one.
This one, Ross? Because this is the one that kills
yes.
us both. Okay.
This kills us both. Yeah, go with it. This one kills both of us. And you're going to get it, Fletcher. You're going to embarrass us. And we're going to.
But I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right. Because I always. This is one of those ones that I also can't pronounce.
I know. Circuitous.
Is it circuitous?
Circuitous.
Circuitous, isn't it?
Kathy and I have mispronounced this and misspelled this. And we're both very embarrassed by it.
So like a roundabout way to
right.
get somewhere, a circuitous route.
Circuitous.
Gosh, I'm wondering what the trick might be. C-I-R-C-U-I-T-O-U-S?
You had to make it sound so easy, didn't you?
It's like a circuit, right?
It's easy, and we both mispronounce it, and we both misspell
it.
I have no idea why. And just for that, we decided we're going to give you a word that Kath and I instantly know.
Correct, because we're Greek.
Uh-huh, great.
Meaning, it means having wavy hair. And it is cimatotricus.
You can't even get it out.
Cimatotricus.
Wait a minute, Russell. No. I don't think that sounded good
enough. Here it is. I got it. Cimatricus.
It's cimatricus, isn't it?
Cimatricus. Okay, Kathy.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armia, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.